Nation, what is up this evening, this afternoon, whenever you're listening to this show, because it is your Backlash Reaction Show. I'm your host, Chris Zellner, joined as always by my cohort, my co-conspirator, my brother-in-arms, Devin Hales. Devin, interesting weekend for WWE, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was a very interesting weekend for sure. Pretty loaded. I actually haven't even seen the UK show yet. 2 hours long. I've gotten to the point where I watch Raw and SmackDown live most weeks, but I don't watch the other stuff live because I've got other stuff going on. So the NXT and C shows take a back seat till the weekend, and I caught up with those, and it was like 3 a.m. and I was like, I'm not watching this 2 hour show right now. So I haven't even seen that yet.
I haven't either. I missed that one because I was at work when it aired originally, and the two Evolve shows I haven't seen yet, so I got to get caught up on all those.
Haven't even seen those either, yep.
So, yeah, a lot of wrestling going on this weekend for sure. But we're going to start off talking about Backlash, though. We'll hit NXT up after Backlash because I think people would be interested in hearing what we got to say about that. But Backlash! Sure. Let's see. Going into the show, you know, all the major build was for Nakamura and Dolph. And then they announced in the pre-show that that's going to be the opening match. Which was interesting to me. We'll talk about it when we get to the match. So that's probably the big news of the pre-show, other than Peter Rosenberg.
Sucking.
And Booker T. And God bless him, not knowing what to say with Eric Rowan's around other than, you're pretty jacked. You're pretty jacked. He's pretty jacked. But we did.
I love Booker.
Oh, yeah. He's something else. But we did have one match, though. We had Ty Dillinger versus Aiden English. These two guys have had quite the interesting career arcs in WWE. They've been there for a long time. Ty left and came back and re-gimmicked, repackaged. Aiden's back to his old gimmick of singing and all that shit. And Ty, you know, finally caught heat and has gotten over with the 10 chants and stuff. But I thought this was a, you know, pretty fine pre-show match. The best part of the match to me, I loved, was Aiden English's tights, which was basically the Starry Night painting by, I think, Picasso, whatever it was. So, thought that was great. And Aiden singing. But, yeah, it was a good pre-show match. Good enough to, you know, get Ty a win. So, what do you think?
Yeah, it was a solid match. Ty's the perfect guy to open shows. That's his role. And he's over. So, and especially with the Chicago crowd, he's going to be over. I've always liked Aiden English's singing gimmick. So I prefer it over the Vaudevillains anyways, although they're similar, but you know, it's different. So I enjoyed his, spiel before the match. it was a solid undercard outing. Right guy won, you know, just a really solid opener to get the crowd going.
So Ty, you know, he's at a spot now where, all right, what are you going to do with it? You know, he's kind of like lingered around. He haven't really done anything since he got called up. But I think now it's time to figure out, let's see, where are we going to slot him in at and if we're going to give him a feud to work with.
Right.
What do you think they're going to do?
You know, I think always kind of the, you know, one of the big downsides of WWE booking the last decade or so has been, you know, and even longer really, maybe 15 years. Has been, you know, you don't really have anything for undercard guys to do. So, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I think Ty's role is fine. I think he's fine as a guy who opens shows and, you know, I think he's fine as a babyface gatekeeper to kind of put over, you know, other guys, but also be the guy who opens shows and has good matches and is over. But you just need to give him something to do. You know, he needs to have a feud. He needs to have a program. And WWE booking doesn't always give undercard guys programs, particularly in the last many years. So he definitely needs to get into a program with someone. I don't know who it would be. You know, maybe an Eric Rowan feud, you know, that might not be a bad idea. Something like that, you know,
Or find him a tag partner.
Sure. Yep. Absolutely.
You know, and maybe go that route. You know, it's SmackDown's tough because, you know, it's a 2-hour show. So you don't have that extra hour that Raw has to put extra people on. So
they've struggled to cycle guys through. I've heard.
Oh, that, I'll say.
And I think that's true. I mean, like, where the hell's American Alpha at? You know, like,
oh God, they're forgotten.
You know, and there have been periods where, you know, Corbin's been off TV for weeks. So they need to do a better job of cycling these guys through.
Luke Harper's a definite one.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Luke Harper. You know, they just and Ty even the last few weeks. Like they need to cycle these guys through better. I'm certainly not praying for a 3-hour SmackDown at all. I don't want that. I'm not even going to bring that up. My point is and I appreciate guys not being on every week, but you know, give them a short promo, put them on Talking Smack, which I've done a decent job with. You know, sometimes guys will be on Talking Smack that aren't on the main show, but get these people, you know, don't take them off TV more than a week or two. You know, after that, you need to put them on in some capacity on the show. And I think SmackDown's failed to do that some, in the last few months. They just need to do a better job of cycling through people as far as appearances go.
Yeah. He's going to be over because of the chant, but he's got the chance to, you know, pretty much get lost in the shuffle too. So
yep.
We'll see what happens with him. All right, let's move on to the main show where Shinsuke Nakamura and Dolph Ziggler opened it up. I understand the rationale for having this as the opener, but I mean, it is the match that you have really pushed the most in your advertising, and you know, maybe it should have been, I wouldn't say the main event, but the second to last match or something, you know, something. They decided to run with it as the opener, and it was worked kind of differently than what I thought it was going to be too. You know, I'm a proponent of guy, you know, Nakamura, you're making such a huge deal out of him that you really need him to look strong to the audience that really hasn't seen him. I mean, they may have seen some NXT stuff, but I mean, you really want to make him look strong since you're giving him this newfound push, this new version of a push as the artist or whatever. And I thought that Dolph took way too much in this match.
Yeah.
And the fact is, and it's not just the fact, is that, you know, the heel took way too much in the match because, you know, okay, it's heel versus babyface, that happens. It's Dolph Ziggler taking too much of this match. The same Dolph Ziggler who was doing jobs to Kalisto and Apollo Crews.
Yes.
Not too long ago. The same Dolph Ziggler has been pretty much a joke the past few months on television. I mean, yeah, he had the stuff with The Miz last year, and that was great. But, I mean, he's been pigeonholed into a spot where he just has not been spotlighted that much. And, yeah, he has a cachet, former champion, this, that, and the other. But still, it's not – he's a cold act. And Nakamura's red hot. You know, I think that if it was me perfectly, I would have had Nakamura just come in, Kinshasa, and maybe just pin him right then and there. And just the fans would have lost their fucking minds. And I think the fans were hot at first for sure. They kind of got lost. We even had a dueling chant at one point.
I noticed that. Yeah.
So, I mean, that was interesting. But, I mean, the match definitely was a really good match in the end. The best Dolph has looked since the Miz matches. And Nakamura won. Naturally, so they got the right finish, but cut a little long. So, what'd you think?
I pretty much agree with you. I think maybe part of the reason they had this as the opener is I think there might have been a slight fear of if we don't get this Nakamura match out of the way, lesser matches that people don't care about as much might end up getting Nakamura chance during them.
Well, that is a valid argument for sure.
Right. So, you know, I think that's probably why it was the opener. The match was very good. I prefer Dolph as a heel, even though I still hate his character and can't stand him. I prefer him as a worker as a heel. I think he's better as a heel. And I thought he was solid in the match tonight. But they've got to get this. This is a hierarchy issue, as you mentioned. You know, Dolph Ziggler was working even with Apollo Crews 2 months ago, who's, you know, working basically working a comedy angle with Titus O'Neil on Raw right now. So they need to start sorting these hierarchy issues out, because I would have liked your idea of the match fine, and I would have popped for it, but I also wouldn't have minded if the match went 10 minutes, you know, and Dolph got a little bit in. That would have been okay too. You know, like you said, Dolph has cachet, so it wouldn't have been out of the ordinary or that crazy. But 20 minutes is just too long, and they worked the match too evenly. You know, I just think it was the wrong presentation of the match. I'm not even opposed to Dolph being the opponent, but, you know, either do a squash or a 10-minute sprint that gets the crowd hot. But a 20-minute match, even though it was very well worked and it was very good, I just don't think is the right way to introduce Nakamura to the main roster, especially with a match against Ziggler. So,
yeah, I mean, Nakamura has had these type of sprint matches before in New Japan. I mean, there's ways of doing it. And I think it would have worked out better and kept the crowd hot throughout the whole thing. I mean, it just got a little too tedious with some of the limb work and stuff like that. And Nakamura, not the strongest of sellers either. So you're not playing to his strengths. But hey, he won the match. Fans were into him like a freight train. So that's all that matters. And I'm guessing now he moves on to greener pastures. We'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to think so, right? I mean, they're not going to do another one of these matches.
I don't know what they're going to do with him. I think the worst thing you could do with him, I mean, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but I think that it wouldn't help him would be if they just throw him into the Money in the Bank ladder match, which I think they will do. And I'm not even sure he'd win it. So
I wouldn't do it.
I think you need to avoid that. I think he'd be better off working somebody higher up on the totem pole than Dolph and having a competitive match with them, maybe a Corbin, you know. Of course that would hurt Corbin. And of course he's the one rumored to win the Money in the Bank, so you know, it's interesting to see what they're gonna do with him, because I don't really know what the follow up's gonna be.
You know, the SmackDown, and we've talked about this problem before, their heel side is just so lacking.
Yes.
You know? Yep. So lacking. And Rusev's coming, you know, coming in, but so maybe that'll help out, but still, they are seriously lacking in heels.
Rusev might be the guy they throw to Nakamura. Wouldn't shock me, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah, it's something to think about, for sure, so. Anyway, good enough debut for Nakamura, and now, you know, he'll finally start wrestling on television. So we'll see how that goes. All right, our next match, and this is going to be interesting.
Oof.
The Usos versus Breezango for the WWE SmackDown tag title, excuse me. I'm a huge fan of the Fashion Police. I love their vignettes. And I thought it was interesting that they brought the vignette to the match with Tyler doing his Master of Disguise gimmick, where he comes out as the, you know, the janitor and then becomes Mama from Mama's Family and all this other shit. I thought it was cute. And the Usos did a pretty good job of selling everything, but I mean, it was fun. I thought it was fun, I understand where people thought it may have been too much. But it did, at least though, they did decide to make it, you know, a regular straight-up match at the end. And it got pretty good there at the end, but the finish was, Fandango got super kicked off top rope, and Jey Uso pinned him, and I kind of did not like the finish. I thought I was hoping for Breezango to win, because I think that would have been a spark for the SmackDown Tag Division, which desperately needs a spark right now in the worst way. But, a fun segment, not the best of matches, and I know that you were very boisterous on Twitter in your opinion of this match.
I like SNL. I mean, it's a fun show to watch on a Saturday night, but keep the SNL skits out of the ring, please. That shit was terrible. I mean, I see plenty of that crap in indie wrestling. You know, it'd be one thing if they decided to go full comedy with the match. That still would have annoyed me because it's a tag title match, and I'd rather not be full comedy. But they straddled the line. They were like comedy, a mix of comedy and serious, and it's like, the comedy's too extreme to be mixed with serious. So it was just it didn't do anything for me at all. I thought it sucked. They slightly made up for it by having a hell of a match and a stretch run, because all four guys are very good workers. So, you know, once they got out of the comedy haze, they really put on a hell of a match. Tyler Breeze took the crazy
bump
over the barricade. You could see the Usos were like trying to save him. Like, they were like, oh man. and
that ended up being not even the craziest bump of the show.
Yeah, I know.
That comes later. But yeah, that Tyler, and imagine those fans that were sitting up there like, oh shit.
I know. I thought they were going to launch him into the fans at first. But it was very good at the end, very good stretch run. Usos are amazing at stretch runs and tag matches. They're one of the best ever, to be quite honest, in my opinion. And I thought the finish was a bit abrupt. I don't mind the Usos winning. I think the biggest downside of them winning is that I think it's pretty obvious that it's going to be an Usos New Day feud, which is not. I don't know how interesting that's going to be.
We've already been through that before.
I know.
But they're opposite sides now.
Yep. So that's kind of the thing there. I can't really call the match good because the first half pissed me off so much. But it was definitely an entertaining match, and I will say the one part of the comedy bit that I did like was the Uso, I don't know which one, threw the dress perfectly at JBL's head, and then
oh god, yeah,
that was hilarious. That was the only part that made me laugh, but otherwise it was annoying until the last few minutes.
Do you think that the whole booking of the match was an indictment on what Vince thinks Breezango is?
I don't know if it's worth. I don't know if it's a blame Vince thing here in this scenario. I think I almost have to blame Breezango for it in some ways. You know, I feel like it's more like, okay, go out and do your thing, and they were the ones who maybe wanted to do this, and they got the okay on it, and they did it. I think that might be what it is in this scenario. I could be wrong.
But they got over. I mean, the fans were loving it.
Oh, sure. There are plenty of things that get over that I don't like. But for me personally, I'm not a fan of it. That's just me, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, we all have our likes and dislikes. But they were, you know, in a position not that long ago where you couldn't see them at all. And then now they have made their way back on television every week now. So give it to them for coming up with some shit that's got them on TV regularly, you know?
They should be given credit for that.
Absolutely, absolutely. American Alpha, you know, needs to figure something out now. So they can get back on television. But, it was okay. It was entertaining, but okay. All right, next match. And this one was interesting to me. Sami Zayn versus Baron Corbin. The match was basic. It was okay. I kind of lost interest midway through the match. Corbin, I mean, he's not the most dynamic worker, you know, when he's on top. It's a lot of, you know, WWE main event style, big guy stuff. And, I mean, Zayn sold well, but it's just, it was interesting because, I mean, Corbin hits the deep six, and, you know, which is supposed to be his finisher, but Zayn kicks out, you know, and Corbin, you know, was blocking Zayn's stuff, but Zayn gets the Huluva kick and gets the win, and somebody tweeted this out the other day, I think it may have been Frame Movement, about how for somebody that's supposed to be like this future big star of the company, the booking of Baron Corbin lately has been really weird because he's done quite a few jobs, and maybe he's going to win Money in the Bank. I don't know, and this is just, you know, the you know, tear him down before they build him back up again. But interesting finish. Zayn needed the win, but interesting finish. What'd you think?
I think I like this more than I thought it was a very good match. But I'm also tend to I appreciate when Sami Zayn works from underneath and sells, and because I think he's great at that, and I'd rather not see him do New Japan cosplay matches with Kevin Owens ever again. So I prefer that he worked that way. And I understand some criticisms for Corbin's work. And, you know, I mean, like putting in a bear hug isn't all that interesting. But I've grown to deal with holds a little bit more over time. So it doesn't bother me as much. And plus it made sense. You know, Sami Zayn, we're back, was hurt. So it makes sense to put him in a bear hug. And I think Corbin has actually gotten a little bit more dynamic than he has before, to be fair. I think the choke breaker is a great move. I think he's added some nice bits to his offense there. I thought this was a really good match. I agree, though, that Corbin's booking has been bizarre. I mean, and it goes back to him kind of disappearing for weeks on TV and then, like, showing up and then... I don't know what they're doing with him. He is been one of the rumored guys to win Money in the Bank in a couple of weeks. So maybe that is a breaking down, build him back up thing, like you said. I don't know. I thought the finish was a bit too abrupt for the match itself. I would appreciate a little bit more build to the finish. But yeah, it's weird. I don't know what they're doing with Corbin. It's going to be. I don't know. I still don't know quite how they see them, you know, or see him, you know, yet. I don't know if it's interesting. Maybe they've lost interest. Maybe they're holding out. I don't know. It's interesting.
You know, I mean, like I said, this is a show that needs strong heels, and he kind of needs that kick in the ass to become, you know, now the third top heel on the side, because you already have Jinder and Owens now as your top two. You kind of need that third guy, and I mean, he's basically it by proxy, but they're not treating him that way, you know. So
right,
but Money in the Bank could change everything, like you said. So we'll have to see for sure. And WWE's done this many times where they get guys ready, you know, to do something, and usually it's the guys that had the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah.
They'll job them out, and then they'll cash it in, you know, so you at least suspect it. But, yeah, interesting finish, and Sammy gets a win. So, you know, that's something rare for him these days on a big show. So we'll see where they go from here. I'm guessing he'll be in the Money in the Bank match as well.
For sure.
So, well, we'll see. All right, next we get the Singh brothers and Jinder Mahal showing up in their black SUV and big white stretch limo. And I love when they put the rug down for Jinder to stand on. That, I mean, you got one thing. You love Jinder, hate Jinder, whatever. You got to admit that they've done a really good job of portraying him as like a big deal.
Yes, they have. Yep.
And to give him that top guy presence. The way they did the promo was interesting.
Yeah.
Because they did it like you see from the start, like it was going to be a normal promo, but then it switched to, you know, right there, cameras at his face, from a different angle, where obviously it was pre-taped then. And I thought Jenner did a really good job in the promo. And one thing I noticed is that he played big time up of being like a babyface in India. They're serious about that market, folks.
Yeah.
They are dead serious. And
maybe we'll get a U.S. versus India feud. I'll on 97, but it's...
Well, just imagine, like, whenever they do run over there in Mumbai and stuff, the handhelds of, like, Jinder working as babyface.
Oh, my God. Over that's there amazing.
Against, like, heel Orton or heel Nakamura or something like that. They decided to do that dynamic change. I think that'd be pretty awesome. But, I really dug this, and it added extra depth to Jinder. What you think about it?
I like this too. I'm not huge on the xenophobia stuff, but I do think Jinder's delivery and his facial expressions are really good in the promo, and he's got very good delivery and facial expressions. I laughed at the rug bit because I imagine the Singh brothers panic and went to like a rundown Walmart and like a suburban Chicago or something and bought a rug, like a cheap $10 rug from Walmart.
Yeah.
But it was a strong segment to put over the seriousness of Jinder. I liked it.
Yeah, definitely. All right, next match, and this is where the show kind of falls off. Charlotte, Naomi, and Becky against Natalya, Carmella, Tamina, the welcoming committee. Lots of sloppiness in this match. Just seems like stuff was off. Naomi. They got the heat on Naomi for a lot of the match. Becky got the hot tag. Of course, and then Becky tapped out to the sharpshooter, which I thought that it was an interesting finish, but I thought it made total sense because, you know, if you're going to do this welcoming community feud, you didn't need to job them out in their first big match.
Sure.
And Becky in the hierarchy of that team is pretty much the third in line. And Natty is the quote-unquote leader of the welcoming committee, so leader goes over the low person on the totem pole. So that makes sense as well. So I thought that was okay, but where are we going to go with this? Are we going to continue with these multi-women matches, or are we going to get somebody that's going to challenge Naomi for the title? I mean, where do we go here?
I don't know. I was a bit taken aback by Becky Nakano
Oh God, the hair, yeah. and one thing we gotta admit too, and Roberts definitely brought this up on Twitter as well. Becky has gotten back into some serious shape this past month or two. She's toned up.
Yeah, yeah.
I was not saying that she wasn't, you know, out of shape in the slightest, but I mean, she's definitely, you know, toned up lately.
Sure.
And, yeah. I mean, she's got her training partner back on the road with her, Charlotte, so that helps out.
Yep.
But,
yep, definitely.
But one thing I want to ask you, though, before you move on is, everybody's waiting on Charlotte to turn on Becky, you know, and then they play it up during the match.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, JBL constantly talks about how everybody turns on Becky, and they didn't do it, which I thought was a nice touch. But, I mean, do you agree that, you know, they should have hold off on any type of turn, or do you think a turn's going to happen?
I agree that they didn't do anything. I'm glad they didn't do anything with that. I don't know if a turn's going to happen. Charlotte really hasn't been a babyface, though. She's just sort of begrudgingly accepted the team with them because she needs the numbers you know what I mean? Like which I do like because she's consistent with her character. It's not like she turned white meat babyface. So
yeah,
it's, you know, I do like that. That's good writing, good work from Charlotte. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't trust this babyface Charlotte, or quote unquote babyface Charlotte, is going to last very long. I think she is going to become queen heel Charlotte again by the end of the summer, whether it's feuding with Becky or Naomi. I still expect that. I could be wrong, but I doubt it.
What do you think about the there's some popular belief in social media that people think that Becky may be the one they turn? As a surprise.
I think that ship sailed when she joined up with the Faces a couple weeks ago.
I agree. If you were to do it, that was the time.
Yep. I think that ship sailed. So, as far as the match goes, it was just there. It wasn't much. The heel team is not good. Tamina's never been good in the ring. She's really bad. Carmella's awful in the ring. I like her character, but she's really bad in the ring. Natty's hit or miss. So, I didn't expect much from the match. I think the babyfaces held their own for the most part. There are just things about the match, like Natty taking bumps and before contact on Becky's hot tag. I hated that.
Yes.
I hate when people do that. And the women do that a lot. Maybe it's a size thing or something, or a slop. I don't know what it is. Because, I mean, you know, I don't want to pick on the women. You know, I mean, like, I've seen guys do it too. But I feel like they do it a little bit more frequently. It's just like, come on, get hit with contact first before you take a bump. I was surprised that Becky was the one who tapped, but you made a really good argument for it, so I'm convinced. I as far as the finish goes, I think it was probably the right thing to do.
Now, I've seen where some people said that maybe they're going to do a women's Money in the Bank match. You think that may be where they go?
I don't know. That would be interesting. I don't know if they will. I think there's some concerns, and I think there are legitimate concerns that that people don't want this to turn into 2015 Raw, where it's team, you know, babyface versus, you know, team welcoming committee in a constant feud where they have, you know, the same tags every week. And like, I think they need to start splitting these feuds into individual different feuds and have two or three different programs like they did before.
There is an X factor coming in.
Lana. Yeah, there you go.
And if you don't think they're not going to give her a big push, you're sorely mistaken.
Oh yeah, she'll be having a dance contest with Naomi before we know it.
Yeah, why, Lana's gonna be the one to win the championship or something like that. So be ready, folks. That's coming. Like it or not, just believe it. Because they're gonna do her like they weren't gonna do Emelina, you know, basically in a lot of ways. So they're gonna definitely push her out there.
Yep.
In the forefront. And poor Summer Rae.
Yeah.
You can't get booked. But that's a whole nother story. All right. Next match, and this is where the show gets back to going again. U.S. Heavyweight title, Face of America Kevin Owens versus Phenomenal AJ Styles. With these two against each other, you expect to have a pretty damn good match, and guess what it was? Owens is able to do stuff with Styles that he's not able to do with a lot of other guys. So, move-wise and stuff like that, both, you know, same way with Styles. You know, they're able to do stuff because there's a comfort level and, you know, they've done the high-end indie stuff. So they're able to do these crazy things like that fucking suplex on the apron, which was insane. God. But, I mean, there was AJ Styles, again, the phenomenal is definitely the word. The best worker in the world right now, in my opinion. And he just, another great performance by him. Owens hung with him, did a really good job as well. And I liked the work on the knee, and it paid off at the finish.
Yep.
I thought that when AJ slipped on the ropes, and then they did a deal where he got stuck in the table for a count-out finish. Yes, a shit finish, but this feud's going to go on, folks. There didn't need to be a clean finish in this first match, I thought.
Yeah.
So that's a great way of doing it. It's a different way of doing it, and it sets up future rematches. So I thought this was a hell of a damn match. What are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was... I thought it was match of the night. It was great. I mean, it's AJ. I mean, AJ can have a good match with the Broom at this point. He's one of the best matches.
Tyler Breeze's mob.
Exactly. He's one of the best wrestlers ever. I mean, I have to give Owens credit. He was good here. I like that he did different submissions besides a headlock. It was you know, because of the knee, but I was appreciative of it nonetheless. This was a great match. The key here is there were plenty of near falls, but the pacing was really well done. So it didn't feel like they were just going through near falls. There was a build to it. There was psychology. They just hurt knee. The big near, you know, the big moves were awesome and well done and well placed. And the finish was brilliant. Excellent finish. Protects both guys. Gives Owens the win. Makes AJ look strong. You know, it was a really, really, really good match. I like this a lot. And speaking of when you said these guys were able to do different things, we haven't seen Owens' cradle neck breaker in a while, and he did that, whatever the hell you call that.
Yes.
Which is just brutal looking. And AJ is the perfect size for him to hit that. So, but yeah, this was awesome. Great, great match.
And I would think that this keeps them out of Money in the Bank, so they could be in their own deal, do a rematch, you know, either straight rematch or do some type of stipulation. Who knows? But I got no problem with this at all, with these two guys working against each other, because I know it's going to be pretty much guaranteed a really good match. So that's all that matters. So just keep it going.
Yeah.
It makes that U.S. title seem important too.
Yep.
When you got AJ Styles fighting for that title. You know, because he is the guy. He's the best. So, gives that little extra rub as well.
Definitely.
All right. In the slot that used to be for the women on these shows, the death slot, we get Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. Now, of course, Luke Harper has been persona non grata on television a lot lately. And last time he was on television, he did a clean job for Eric Rowan. So we get our rematch here. Rowan's doing this new deal where he's
a creep, basically.
Yeah, he's a creep with Renee Young.
But it's awesome. I actually quite like it.
It's different, you know. Yeah. It's him showing some personality, you know.
Better than Bray Wyatt, remember, in my opinion. Not kidding.
And he's jacked. He's really jacked. So let's not forget that. But, I will say this for Bray. I think they're kind of toning him down now on Raw, kind of, sort of.
A little bit.
So we'll see how it goes from here. Because, yeah, the Orton stuff was just abysmal. But that's a whole other story. But, yeah, we got the former Wyatt family guys here. And I thought both guys worked really hard. They had, you know, a pretty decent match. But the crowd just didn't give a shit. Which that's understandable. You know, considering what, you know, they just come off the last match, and it's just these guys aren't in that position where people really are going to care about them. But hey, at least Harper got the win,
yeah.
So that's all that mattered to me. I was glad he got his win back. So your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was pretty good. I really like both guys. I've always been a fan of the Wyatts, or at least Bray's minions. I think Harper's probably one of the better workers in the world when he's given a chance. And Eric Rowan's underrated. I think he's way more dynamic offensively than you think. I mean, he went for a splash, he hit a powerbomb, he hit a nice backbreaker. He's an underrated bumper. I mean, these guys had a nice slugfest at the end. Good finish. Like I really enjoyed this match, and they busted their asses for the time that they got. Very good effort. It's a death slot. You know, the fans weren't going to give a shit about him. And there's really no reason to. This feud hasn't really been given any, you know, particularly interesting build or anything. They just kind of traded matches. But as far as the match itself, it was pretty good. I liked it.
I think Harper's going to put the Money in the Bank.
Yeah, yeah.
As in, like, the Kane role.
Sure.
You know, which is great for him. He'll be able to showcase himself. He always does well in those matches, just as Dean Ambrose.
Rowan will probably be in there too, to be honest. So
could maybe unless they do something different with, you know, like him and
Yep.
Ty or whatever. Or Nakamura, which Nakamura, a Nakamura Rowan match would be very interesting to me.
Yeah, it would.
Very interesting to me if that comes down the line. But yeah, this was a perfectly fine match. Props to Luke Harper for getting the win. All right, now we got to a match that everybody was looking forward to.
The Maharaja.
The main event. Yes. WWE World Title, Randy Orton, the independent wrestling's favorite wrestler, against the Maharaja, Jinder Mahal, Hardbody Mahal. And the thing that interested me the most about this match was the beginning was the crowd was really hot for this opening stuff, you know. And that I liked the way they started the match, where Orton just went on the attack immediately. They didn't ring the bell, and you know they waited to build up the ringing of the bell and started the match proper.
That got
yeah.
The,
I thought
sorry. I was going to say that got the crowd into it. That was smart booking.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, I think the one minor squabble I'll have with this match is that they got the crowd up and then the crowd went right down when they started, you know, working the when Jinder started working the holds,
mm-hmm.
you know, which, yeah, I understand, you know, what you're trying to do, but you know, those rest holds went a little bit too long there for a minute, but, it got the crowd ready to get back up again and they got them back. The brawling on the outside was really fun. The same brothers who they have, you know, we talk about Jinder, you know, having a, you know, rebirth of his career. Look at the same brothers going from, you know, being the shitty Bollywood boys to being these great, you know, seconds outside the ring that can take bumps like crazy.
Yeah.
They're like the,
J&J Security.
J&J Security. Yeah. Or something like that. Patterson and Briscoe, you know, with Vince.
Yep.
They're great foils and do stuff. And God knows, that bump that Samil took.
Oh, my God.
That when Randy Orton threw him
out,
in the
Randy
air.
Randy was like, oh, no. Did you see his face? Randy's face? When he
yeah. He thought he fucked him up. I mean, it looked like a Pete Dunne X-Plex.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it was like, holy shit. And again, Randy Orton dropped guys on three tables in this thing, and none of them broke. So the feud continues. Randy Orton versus Nash tables, the longest feud in wrestling history. He can never break those tables, folks. It just won't happen. This will never happen. But Randy, of course, gets the same brothers in and gives them the DDT, and then Jinder comes in and hits his big move on him, and it wasn't clean because I think Randy bumped the wrong way. Randy took it on his ass more than he took it on his back.
Right.
Cause it didn't look that great. But Jinder got the win. The place was shocked. You know, they had some really great camera shots on the crowd, which there was a lot of terrible camera shots in the crowd in this show. But they got some good ones on this one, and Jinder was awesome celebrating. And there were fans that were into him winning, too.
Sure.
So, this is something that they needed to do, in my opinion. They needed to put something on a new guy. You know, yet Jinder Mahal has, you know, floundered for years, 3MB. He came back, you know, and was working main event and superstars and shit like that. Eventually got his way up into a comedy-type team with Rusev, and, you know, he just kept plugging along and doing it also helps out that he was doing what he needed to do physically, making them gender games
right.
to help himself out. And, hey, he's a champion now, you know, so he's the guy, the number one guy, so props to him. But I know you're a gender fanatic, and see, you're one of the originals.
That's right.
See, this isn't trendy. You were on Jinder when he was working the C shows on a regular basis. So, and you were telling, you know, talking about how good Jinder was. So this isn't ironic here, folks. Devin knows he's a Jinder guy. So this had to be some type of vindication for you.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, he's never been, you know, outstanding, but you know, he was obviously, I mean, I'm not a huge body guy, but I could definitely tell he was getting into shape, and by any means necessary, maybe, we don't know. But he was. He was, you know, working hard on C shows. None of the matches were too spectacular, but you know, he's you know, working hard, and I enjoyed the Rusev tag team on Raw. So, and it was kind of fun. Like, I was like, Jinder's actually getting somewhat of a push, and then he gets this mega push. So it's been fun to watch for me. I think he definitely should have won the match. I think this makes it interesting. He's one of those guys now as a champion where anybody can beat him. Right. Because, you know, he's a shocking winner. They've done a very good job with his push, but now, you know, when somebody gets a near fall on him or he wrestles somebody that most people would generally think are above him on the totem pole, you know, it creates interesting title matchups. So I don't know how long this reign is going to be. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I think it was the right decision to put the belt on him. Going with the gimmick, SmackDown being the land of opportunity, and Jinder's getting some buzz, positive or negative, he's getting buzz. This was a good decision, and I like the match. I thought it was really fun. I thought it was pretty good. I do agree. I know a few minutes ago I was, you know, waving off people being in holds too much, but I think Jinder does. Jinder's problem, like, his bumping was excellent tonight. He took big bumps on the floor, on the announce table, in the ring post, bumped well for Randy's offense. Offensively, Jinder needs work. You know, I think he does stay in he stays in that wrist lock too long. He uses too many kicks, too much, I think.
But you know what he has? You know what he has? So he has a presence.
Yes, charisma. Yep, absolutely.
He has the look of a main eventer now.
Yep, absolutely. He's
so that could make up for some lack of, you know,
offensive
dynamic offense. Right. You know.
Right. Yep. Absolutely. And his facial expressions are really good. I like, even people who aren't even really Jinder fans have praised his, you know, his scowling, you know, his mean face. So he's got that down, and yeah, I really enjoyed this, and God bless the Singh brothers for almost dying, and Randy, being typical Randy, couldn't help but almost cringe, not almost cringe, he did cringe on live TV because he realized that he dropped the guy in his head. So
yeah, and let's not forget, when they were the Bollywood Boys, they sure did love to die.
Yeah.
Which, it was hilarious, you know, reading it, indie wrestlers that were just going crazy for Jinder beating Orton after all that stuff happened last week with Orton talking about
the dives
and stuff.
I really enjoyed this match, and I thought it was the right booking decision.
Yeah, I mean, that absolutely. Absolutely. It shows that, you know, anybody can win, you know, if they're given the opportunity to showcase themselves. So, and you're right, you know, now Jinder's in a spot where, you know, there's different guys that could beat him. I'm guessing they go with Orton again. Unless, I don't know, I went there, they put more Orton in Money in the Bank. I mean, I don't know.
It'll be interesting.
But there's Rusev laying in the weeds.
Yes.
All right. Now, you got a story there. Former tag team partners.
Yep.
You could bring Rusev back as a babyface.
Yes, you could.
In this. So there's ways you could do this that would be interesting. Imagine a Rusev Mahal title match.
Wow.
Who would have thought that in February? Just to show you, you know, unpredictability, you know. And you need to elevate new guys into the main event position.
Yes.
And this is a way of doing it, you know. And props to Randy Orton for, you know, doing business.
Sure, yep.
You know. He could have been one of these guys, I'm not going to do that shit, you know. So, props to him, man, for sure. So, Yeah, a fun way of closing the show. Fans, you know, losing their minds over the finish, either for or against. So, it's always fun to have that type of unpredictability. Because, I mean, a lot of people thought Jenner was going to win, but there still, to me, was I thought it could have went either way. I thought it would have been a mistake if Orton would have retained the title. But, you got to remember, and I said this on Twitter, throughout this whole build to this match, Jenner got all the heat. Orton never got the heat on Jenner. So, you know, logic would say that Orton would, you know, get the win. But, hey, sometimes you go against the logic. So,
great.
Either way. All right, backlash total. Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. Where do you lie?
I'm going to give it a thumbs up. I thought it was a really good show.
And I agree. Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, the booking, I thought, was, you know, everything pretty much was right on the money as far as finishes, except for that tag title match. That's all in the story. The Owen Styles match was great. The main event was really good. I mean, there was some really good matches on this show. Other than the women's match, you know, and the, you know, however you felt about the tag title deal. So, yeah, I'm thumbs up as well. So, props to W. Anything else you want to add about it?
Not really. Other than I think we're getting pretty close to the hot summer months of WWE. They usually book some interesting stuff going forward. So I think after Extreme Rules and Memorial Day, we're going to get some interesting storylines. I expect it.
Oh yes, oh yes. All right, NXT. Saturday night in the same building. I watched it live. You watched it on delay, correct?
I watched it live. I missed 5 minutes of the ladder match because our stream finally went out, and I watched the last. That's right. I watched. You know, I saw the last 10 or 15 minutes of the show on my phone live.
Okay, so we have both had the live experience. Eric Young versus Roderick Strong. You know, Roddy had that great build-up, those great vignettes on television. And they do the deal where, you know, he loses to a Tommy, you know, in the number one contender match, which, you know, whatever, if you want to think about that, that's a whole other story. But him and Eric Young, they've had a pass together, so this will be a fairly good matchup. And it was. It's another one. Opener match that went a little too long. Yeah. But, they picked it up at the end, and Roddy was just awesome with his finisher. I mean, that looked insane, you know, the way that was set up. So the right man won, and what do you think?
It was a pretty good match. I just think it was too long. And I also have – this is a – I don't know if it's a weird criticism, but I thought it was worked a little bit too similarly to the Ty-Eric Young match. Might have been in January because they were the whole – interference of sanity and stuff. I thought it was, I mean, people don't have the memory that I do probably, but it was like, oh, this is a little bit too similar to that match, but it was pretty good. It shouldn't have gone 20 minutes or whatever the heck long it went. But that finisher was absolutely brutal. That was insane.
Oh yeah.
I was a little bit surprised that Roddy won, but I'm glad that he did, because I think if he would have lost, I think it would have hurt his, you know, I think it would have taken away some from the videos, you know, that they did for him. So I'm glad he won.
And the fans were hot for him too. Yeah. So the fans had a connection with him. They're hot for him. So it works.
Right.
Funny how that happens when you do vignettes and stuff like that to give people something to care about.
Right.
Now, Sanity, I just don't know. You know, Killian Dane is the guy in the group that, you know, should be the breakout guy, but they don't let him have that chance much. And basically all Sanity is right now is an entrance.
Yeah, it's an entrance that I'm getting particularly sick of. They're the bane of NXT for me. Like, they're just like NXT's been really good since after Mania, in my opinion. But they're the worst thing ever. Like I actually like Nikki Cross. I've grown like she's grown on me. I like her. But everybody else in the group, I even think Eric Young's a decent promo and he can be a decent worker. But I can't get into, Alexander Wolf, who's like a Bobo version of Gary J, and Gary J is like the Bobo version of Sami Zayn. So it's like, although I did laugh at Nigel saying he looked like the missing link. That was a particularly random reference from Nigel during the commentary. But
yes,
and Killian Dane's doing nothing. I mean, he's just sort of just there as like a muscle, but he doesn't even really. I mean, he is the muscle. I mean, he's got the big cross body move, but he's not really being utilized as the muscle of the group. It's weird. Like, I do not like Sanity. I'm getting tired of them. They're my least favorite part of NXT.
Yeah, it's time to probably, shift some off of that. You know, Nikki, that kind of put her out on her own more. I mean, you'll see it with them, but she's in her own thing. So, they could always keep her as she is, but they need to figure something out with the rest of these guys for sure. And do something because it's just not working anymore.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But I tell you something that is working. Tyler Bate versus Pete Dunne for the UK Championship. And this was an amazing match. These two guys here, they had a hell of a match in the tournament finals. Early in the year, and this one was better. I mean, these guys, their chemistry together is amazing. They're partners on some of the indie shows as British Strong Style with Trent Seven, and they still work against each other at various times as well. But for guys this young, like Pete Dunne's only 23 years old, folks. Tyler Bate's 20. It's amazing how great these guys are. And they did the perfect mix to me of working that high-end style, but that you would see in NXT and stuff like that, but they added the extra stuff that you wouldn't see like in normal NXT matches.
Yeah.
They give it a different flavor. And I thought it was a fucking awesome match. So,
it was pretty amazing. It's got a very good chance of being my WWE match of the year so far. I mean, to tell you how young they are, I'm older than both of them and I'm young. So, which is crazy. They have an amazing chemistry. They've been working with each other for 10, for years. I mean, not 10 years, but, I know Pete Dunne's
worked. Well, somebody said that, though. Who was it that said they have been working professionally for 10 years? They may have been Percy.
Maybe close to 10 years, though, because,
Pete Dunne, I don't think Tyler Bate was working professionally at 10.
No. Pete Dunne was working 13 and 14, I think.
Yeah. He's been working for a long time. Yeah,
but he's like Pete Dunne's one of the five best wrestlers in the world. That guy's amazing. He's so good. He's great. He's great at everything. He's got great presence, great offense, great basing. Great selling, great pacing, great everything. I mean, he's an amazing wrestler. Tyler Bate is very good too. I don't think he's nearly as good as Pete Dunne is, but for a 20-year-old, he's ridiculously good. That was a pretty awesome match. And Tyler Bate doing the spiral tap was pretty awesome because I haven't seen that move in since 08 or 09 when AJ did it. That was a cool markout moment. Yeah, that was a. That was a pretty that's easily in the argument for WWE match of the year and one of the best matches of the entire year anywhere. That was an amazing match, and Pete Dunne as the heel UK champion is going to be awesome. So I'm looking forward to that. That might actually make me more interested in tuning into the UK show. So
the thing is, though, you know, yeah, he's going to be heel, but it's going to be hard for the fans.
I know.
The boo.
I know. Yep.
Even though he's going to have that personality where you don't like, you're not supposed to like him, but he's just so damn good.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
You really need that baby face. And maybe, you know, Mark Andrews can do something like that, you know.
And Pete Dunne play that baby Pete Dunne and Mark Andrews had an awesome match in January. And I think they'll probably have another big match coming up. So they have great chemistry, too. So I'm pretty sure that'll probably happen again. So I'm looking forward to that if it does. Because that could be pretty amazing as well.
Yeah, these two guys definitely stole the show. And, I mean, the crowd was just nuts for everything. And yeah, it was just great pro wrestling television.
Absolutely. Sure.
And Jim Ross was there, you know. And the one thing, though, that it was Jim Ross and Nigel on commentary. But it seemed like to me that Nigel was doing way more of the play-by-play than Jim Ross was.
He was. You know, JR isn't as good as he used to be. As far as, like, the things that he says, JR was saying, like, really random stuff that kind of didn't make sense. But JR's better than – I mean, JR's got the gravitas and the enthusiasm, so he still has that. So I enjoyed it. You know, I enjoyed him on commentary.
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to say anything about JR on commentary compared to what Tom Phillips
absolutely.
Did, you know, tonight.
SmackDown
who
Live.
Who was horrendous. SmackDown Live! Notice the backlash. Pronouncing Nakamura's name numerous times, and just other things. He just had an off night tonight. But yeah, so and JR definitely, you know, made him feel more important after one night.
Absolutely,
that's for sure. All right, so what do you follow that up with? Well, they followed it up with a three-way women's match. Asuka defending against Ruby Riott and Nikki Cross. What they've done with Asuka lately, I've really enjoyed. They basically, you know, she's become a total asshole, like when they interview her and stuff, and especially on last week's television when they're in the, you know, in the SUV with her. And then once she gets out of the SUV, she's happy-go-lucky Asuka dancing around taking pictures with fans. And then once she gets away from the fans, she's back to being an asshole again. So I love that. And I thought they'd done a pretty good job in building up Ruby Riott and Nikki Cross on television with their vignettes. So, and it's fresh opponents, you know, for Asuka.
Right.
And Ember Moon, of course, was supposed to be in this match, but she was injured, air quotes. So she couldn't be in the match. But there was part of this match that was kind of clunky, but all in all, I thought it was a pretty good match. Although the finish was interesting, Asuka beating both of them at the same time. Although, you know, it was noted that I guess it was Nikki had her arm over Ruby. Or it could have been the other way around on the finish. Asuka just laid on top of him. So you could say that maybe there's a disputed finish there. But Asuka's still the champion. She's undefeated and she's the big time champ. But the question is, I want to ask before you talk about the match proper, is your brother Dylan brought up a great point on Twitter yesterday about there is a difference between somebody that is a long term champion somebody having the top for a long time and somebody that's a dominant champion. And it just doesn't seem like Asuka, she's had the top for a long time, she'd be everybody just come in, but it just seems like she's not dominant. What do you think?
It's weird. I don't know who can beat Asuka.
I think it's going to be Ember Moon.
I think it will be too, but I don't think that people are going to buy it. NXT's done some magic before in booking and in builds, so they've got a few months to do that for Brooklyn, right? So maybe they can, but I just don't know if people. I mean, I'm not to say that Ember's going to get booed out of the building or anything, right? But I just don't know if they're going to people generally going to buy that Ember Moon's going to be able to beat Asuka. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. I still think Nikki Cross would be the better person to beat her because Nikki's an unhinged psychopath. So, you know, I buy the character of Nikki Cross. I don't know who Ember Moon is. You know, I don't, other than White Meat Babyface.
They've done somewhat better lately trying to explain, you know, trying to give her a little bit of a depth. Right. And it seems like they're kind of getting away from the Ember Moon character from the original. Like, you'll see her more and more without the contacts in.
Right.
You know, and see her more and more, like, in street clothes sure. and stuff.
Yeah, and that's better. I mean, if you want to make her White Meat Babyface in a human, you know, and more humanizing, that's fine. I think that probably fits her better because the mystical Ember Moon character was not really working out because there was no, descriptive nature of what the hell the... the gimmick actually was.
Why is she this way? Right. Yeah.
But as far as the match goes, it was fine. I like this will sound like a burial, but it really isn't. I thought it was probably the worst NXT Women's Title match in the history of TakeOver. But it was still pretty good. It was pretty decent. Ruby Riott looked nervous at times. I think her and Asuka had really bad chemistry. They didn't connect very well. And I'm a big Heidi Loveless fan. But I just don't think she and Asuka particularly had good chemistry. And it's not like, you know, Ruby's been bad all the time or anything. I mean, she was good at the Orlando TakeOver, and she's been fun on TV. So I think it was just it might have been a chemistry thing between her and Asuka, but I think that there were some really sloppy and awkward moments.
Nerves, maybe, because it was in Chicago.
Sure, yep. As far as the match was solid. I think they actually... in some ways, ended up protecting all three because Ruby might have won the match if Asuka hadn't come in and kicked her in the head and, you know, won the way that she did with the potentially Nikki's arm being on top of Ruby as well. So I think they might have done a decent job of protecting him in that loss. But it was fine for what it was. Looks like they're going to be doing the big build for the Ember Asuka match for Brooklyn. So.
And if Asuka's going to lose the title, it needs to be in a singles match. It shouldn't be in a multi.
Right, absolutely, yep. And, you know, Brooklyn's the perfect place because Brooklyn is NXT WrestleMania. That is NXT's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
WrestleMania weekend TakeOver is not. WrestleMania weekend TakeOver is the second biggest, but the biggest is Brooklyn. So.
Oh, yeah.
Brooklyn made NXT, essentially.
I agree.
So that's the big show, and that's the right show for that to happen. If you have for her to lose the belt there, so.
Yep. So we'll see how it goes from here on television for sure. All right. Next up, next title match, and this was an interesting one: the NXT Heavyweight Championship doesn't main event as Bobby Roode defends against Hideo Itami. I guess you want to go for the ladder match as the main event, but we all saw what was happening at the end.
Right, so I think
that
I think
definitely explained
said,
it.
See, I thought that was going to happen too, and also the musician for Johnny Gargano's song made a little bit of an error too, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. But yeah, once all that went down, then that explained why the order was what it was. Roode had another great entrance, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he has the best right now, you know, pretty much. And when it comes to the match was kind of slow early on. Itami, since he's come back, has not looked that great. He's looked broke down. He's looked like he's lost a step. He's
no muscle.
It doesn't look the same, man. And his left arm, you can tell he's still having issues with it, big time. That's affects him. But to his credit, he fought hard here. You know, he was throwing them hard slaps, which I loved. Roode, I thought Roode was really good here. You know, at playing around with Tommy. The last 5 minutes of this match, I thought was very strong. And of course, Roode hit the rolling glorious DDTs, which I thought was a great finish to win the match. And Tommy had to go to sleep in Chicago, so he got to do it. You know, in Punk territory. The fans ate it up, so that was great. But, I mean, it was the right finish. And they did a deal online on I saw it on YouTube where Tommy was doing a big temper tantrum backstage, and the guy he was pushing around was Cassius Ohno, Chris Hero. So it looks like they may go in that direction. They may do an Tommy possible heel turn out of this, which I think with the way he is now physically, that might be for the best.
Yes.
So he don't have to be like doing a whole lot of dynamic shit. He can just hit hard and stuff like
Yep.
that. So that might be for the better of him. But Rude retained his title. He moves on to probably Drew McIntyre next or whoever, we'll see. But I thought this was one of the best NXT title matches they've had in a while. We've had a lot of interesting ones lately. The Nakamura Joe series was underwhelming a good bit of the time. Joe, when he was a champion, he didn't have as many great matches and such, but I thought this was pretty damn good. So, what'd
I
you think?
thought it was solid. I preferred the Rude Nakamura series more. I thought the January match was excellent, and I thought the Mania match was good but too long. I thought this was solid. I actually got into a heated argument with someone over this being a Tommy's biggest match of his career because.
Oh, that's a lie.
Well, I thought I was the one who said that, but I feel like it was one of his. I feel like it might have been because it because of his injuries and whether or not the
Well,
match was, you know what I mean? Like,
I, as far as like maybe to himself,
right.
that it may have been the most important match, but I mean, yeah,
I mean, the match didn't have any
he had
significant build or
Marufuji.
anything like that, so I can understand. But like, I was like, to me, it was like you're in the biggest company in the world, and then you've had a bunch of setbacks, and maybe, and really, in a lot of ways, been a disappointment. So this is a pretty big match, and
And you're
I
right.
thought,
You're right.
you know, and they had the whole Triple H conference call. Where he was like, well, if it doesn't go well, we'll see what we do after that. I don't. That might have been some kayfabe or not, but. You know, the match wasn't bad at all, so
Oh
I think
no.
they succeeded. You know, and I think he's just, you know, and I think he succeeded. So,
Well, and like I said, they shot an angle,
right.
so they're going to obviously do something.
You know, so he's fine. The match itself was pretty good. I wasn't hugely into it. I got a little bit bored in the middle portions there. But I agree that I thought the finishing sequence was very good, and the glorious DDTs were pretty vicious looking. So, real solid match.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Bobby Roode moves on. So we'll see what happens from here. Main event, ladder match for the NXT tag titles. Authors of Pain, who also two very young guys as well. I think, what, 23 and 22? You don't think about that when seeing them, but
Yeah.
yeah. They're young guys against the Revival in a hell of a damn ladder
DIY
match.
rather.
The DIY guy. I'm thinking about a Revival here. Yeah, DIY, excuse me. And it's been a long day. And I mean, hell of a damn ladder match. Those dives from the ladder to the other to the ladders. AOP was laying on the ladders. I thought Johnny Gargano broke his damn neck when he fell down. And Ciampa, he hit hard too. But Gargano, the way just he whiplashed when he hit the floor, oh God. But to all their credit, man, they fought and kept fighting back. The spot where Gargano saved Ciampa and took the ladder to the face. And like it hurt like hell.
Yeah.
But they had the crowd, I mean, the crowd was into it. And DIY, they're so great at being a babyface tag team and getting the crowd into everything. And it was just a hell of a damn match. But of course, it's overshadowed by the aftermath, where it took a long time to do it because it was rumored last year. But Tommaso Ciampa turned on Johnny Gargano, and really heat heavy angle. Fans were chanting asshole. This is NXT fans now
Yep.
chanting asshole, fuck you, Ciampa. I mean, they were into this big time, so that definitely worked out. And Ciampa, he's gonna be so awesome as a Psycho Killer again.
Oh yeah,
so I love it, and that's gonna be a money match in Brooklyn right there. That's gonna, I mean, that should be your main event right there. No title, just Ciampa versus Gargano. That's your main event for Brooklyn.
I think so too.
But but hey, you again, AOP man, they deserve credit, man. They're getting there. They're young and they're doing a whole lot of stuff. And yeah, they're big guys and they may be a little bit limited, but they've been in some really strong matches. So props to them. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this is a really fun ladder match. I didn't think it was spectacular or anything. Like I said, I missed 5 minutes, so a big chunk early. I think I missed a crazy tope from Gargano at one point or something that I've heard some talk about. Where he hit his ladder or where he hit his head on the ladder or something. But this was the man, that dive. Those ladder splashes were Johnny overshot and his leg splashed him and then he hit head first. It looked like he went and, you know, went like diving in a pool or something.
I know, man. It's crazy.
He must have
gotten... like he did a swanton. You know, he was supposed to do a straight splash, and like he was trying to do a swanton instead, and didn't hit.
Yeah, that was nasty. And of course, the German off the ladder was psychotic.
Like, oh yeah.
I mean, a guy that size taking that bump,
right on his head on that ladder, broke the ladder. Even though, yeah, that was a wooden ladder that was supposed to be made like a steel ladder. Yeah. But still,
and,
I mean, that was an impressive spot.
And Ciampa, you know, he did the move the way he was supposed to. But imagine if he had just fallen back. I mean, that guy's whole weight would have fallen on Ciampa's face if he hadn't moved that.
You
know, if he hadn't adjusted himself into sort of more of a backdrop. But it was a very good match. Great finish. Of course, the post match is they pulled the. The Sami Zayn Kevin Owens thing where the copyright graphic shows up, you know, and then and then boom, and Ciampa said you know the last thing he said to him is we're family, and then right there he turns on him. And another thing was people were talking about how the shitty Fozzy song Judas was the theme for the show, so that was probably on purpose as well.
It's a nice touch for sure. Yep.
Great beatdown. People brought up a really cool touch about it was when they brought back the CWC match where Gargano pulled his knee brace but then put it back off or whatever, or pulled it back up because he didn't want to hurt his friend in the Cruiserweight Classic match. But Ciampa didn't do that. He just went full clean knee to the face as a neat little callback to that little moment in that match. Which I think is pretty clever. And then, of course, the White Cross, Celtic Cross, whatever you want to call it, through the stage or whatever, was a cool spot. Ciampa looming over Gargano's dead body. That's it.
Oh yeah.
That was a pretty great angle to close things out, and it was one that people have been rumoring. And waiting for, I think, for a while, and kind of, you know, maybe forgot about it, and then some musician said, "Oh, I'm doing a performance for Johnny Gargano's new theme song," and then people said, "What?" And then mysteriously, the tweet was taken down.
Amazing.
And then we saw that match was the main event, and then I think everybody was like, "Oh yeah, this is probably going to happen." So. But it was great stuff, and I had a little fun with it, and I tweeted asshole at Ciampa after the show. So, but yeah, it was good stuff. So one match of the year candidate and a great angle is a pretty good show.
Yep, yeah, I thought it was one of the best takeovers they've had in a while, from top to bottom. Definitely. So NXT's they're on a roll right now, folks. Yeah, if you haven't watched them lately, you need to get back into it because it's been really good stuff.
Definitely.
Television's been really strong. So, on that note, like I said earlier, a successful weekend for WWE. So, props to them. And like I said, we both haven't watched the UK show yet. I've heard good things about that, too. So, yeah, we'll see where we go from here. As our next show will be in a couple weeks, Extreme Rules.
I'll actually be out of town for that. I will be here for Money in the Bank. So I'll only leave you for one week, Chris.
Well, there may be an Extreme Rules reaction show. Who knows? If we ever dig up Johnny Sorrow from all the stuff that he's doing, watching pay-per-views lately. So we'll see what happens. But we'll definitely have a Money in the Bank reaction show, folks. So be on the lookout for that. All right, Devin, appreciate it. Every time we do this, it's always a blast. Absolutely. So thank you.
Thanks for having me on a lot.
Exactly. This is Chris saying so long from the Peach State of Georgia.